Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. Connor, mate, can you actually imagine being Neil Malpay and trying to mug off James Maddison?
I don't. It's just what he does, isn't it? Most fan bases have a problem with Neil Malpay. I used to like him because of what he did to Arsenal that time, and they still go on about it. But now he seems to have won them over, going by Twitter last night, where seen some Arsenal fans saying, actually, Neil Malpay has 30 more career goals than James Maddison. As if that was the actual point. I think it was more of just a light-hearted joke from Maddison about, you know, their contrasting seasons. But obviously, grown men don't take it like that, do they?
No. There can people talk about the goals. I mean, he's been played as a focal point. Pretty much Brighton's only striker for a time, wasn't he? But I don't think it would be that much of a stretch to suggest that the chasm between my footballing ability and Neil Malpay's, I think that's less than between Neil Malpay and James Maddison. I'm just...
I saw you trying to kick that ball in the square in Dortmund.
I'm just throwing it out there, mate. That's all I'm saying.
It's very odd, isn't it? And it's such a strange thing. The celebration more so, because like he's always a wind up merchant, Morpe, and he's always, you know, throwing himself to the ground and stuff, and leaving in cheeky elbows and stuff like that. But just the Cobby Maddison celebration, I thought was really strange. There's no history between Spurs and Brentford, no history between Maddison and Morpe, as far as I can tell. I just thought it was quite strange, and obviously way, way too early in the fucking game. Like Saka learned earlier this season.
We just absolutely seem to. I do get it. I hated James Maddison before he signed for Tottenham. I can't.
Yeah, he's one of those players, isn't he, I suppose.
But it just, I always think it seems a bit more weird when you've got actual professionals doing it to one another. Did you see Malpe afterwards? Because Maddison did an Instagram post about it, and then Malpe responded on it saying rent free.
Yeah, he did another Instagram as well, Malpe, saying something like more goals and less relegations in my career than James Maddison. So he's obviously taking it well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of adds a bit of irony to the rent-free thing, doesn't it? Because I tell you why Morpe really irritates me, because he's got that energy, hasn't he? He's got the energy of the lad that can dish it out, but just obviously can't take it.
Yeah, but he's not good. He's not good. You've got to be quite a lot better at football than he is to get away with it. I mean, he's barely played for Brentford this season. He's only playing because two forwards, Mbeumo and, well, this is at internationals, but Mbeumo's obviously injured. That's the only reason he's getting a game. He's not got a game all season. He got palmed off by Brighton. Like, I absolutely love wind-up merchants of football. But I just think you've got to be a bit better at football than Neil Malpay is to get away with it. Malpay, I don't know. I hope I get it wrong.
He's appalling, isn't he, though? He's really bad.
He's shite. It's really annoying that he scored, but he did nearly manage to fuck that as well. It's just crept in.
Did you see... Well, Thomas Frank piled into it as well. Afterwards saying all like, oh, if they were, they've got problems if they're annoyed about a celebration. It's a bit disingenuous, isn't it?
I don't think we were annoyed. We took the piss out of it as well in the second half. It's not being annoyed. I just thought it was weird. It's just a weird thing to do for a player you've got no history with, or and a club you've got no history with. But there we go.
I'm not having Thomas Frank, you know. I thought Brentford were,
I'm not having that he's not fucking murderful. Mancunian.
Yeah, awful, right, mate?
No, it's like she worked behind the bar in Shameless.
They were terrible, though, weren't they?
Think that they've got... they're much bigger shithouses than I've given them credit for previously, and they're much worse at football than I've given them credit for previously as well. I think, for some reason, in most fans' minds who don't watch Brentford a lot, they think of them as this sort of nice, good footballing team, technically great, nice little players. But I mean, that was a fucking Big Sam's Bolton 2004, wasn't it? Like this, whatever they were trying to do, it obviously worked in the first half really well. You know, they nicked it off us in midfield and countered and scored and, you know, booted it over the top and ran in behind a few times. But their football was absolutely shite. And fair play, it nearly worked. You know, Dyche has made a career out of getting results with Burnley playing a certain way. And if it works, you know, fair enough. But I think people perceive Brentford quite differently to how they actually play. And I thought they were, yeah, pretty turgid.
Do you think yesterday was... Because I do think Spurs weren't great yesterday. We had that spell, obviously, where we got the three goals. But for the most part, we're a bit panicky in defence, a bit disjointed going forwards. And as I was saying in the post-match, I think a lot of that is just about a lot of players coming back from injury, coming back from internationals, everyone getting used to one another again. But do you think yesterday was Brentford stifling us or Spurs being a bit crap, or maybe even a bit of both?
I think it was definitely both. I think the only really decent performance we've put in the last month or so was at Old Trafford, when I think we should have won as a sort of complete 90 minutes. That was much better than, you know, Everton at home, Brentford at home. Sorry, Bournemouth at home, those wins. It was obviously a much better performance than last night. I think at the moment, given, you know, how much we're having to chop and change in terms of injuries, suspensions, internationals and stuff like that, especially in the home games, I think we're basically just doing enough across 90 minutes to win the game. I don't think Andrew said as much, we've not put in a, you know, top 90 minutes, especially at home for a while. But yeah, like you say, it's quite hard when you're having to chop and change the 11 so often. And hopefully, you know, I don't want Son to get knocked out because he'll be really upset in the Asian Cup. But I do think Australia will probably beat South Korea. And then, yeah, once we get people back and we're a bit settled, I think we'll start to see, you know, what we saw in the first 10, 11 games of the season, a bit more consistency in performance. But I can't bring myself to be that arsed about it, to be honest. I just really, really wanted to win last night.
It's one of those things with Sonny, isn't it? It's like, I won't be gleeful about it. I don't want to see him upset and see South Korea get, like, you know, eliminated. But equally, I am a Spurs. I put Spurs ahead, but it's not even like a Eurocentric thing that, like, I see people say. I put Spurs ahead of any international football.
What's easy, yeah, 100%.
It pissed me off when Harry Kane would go on about how much he loved England as opposed to...
A World Cup aside, I'd rather none of our players played for their countries. Right, like, I just don't, like, I wish none of them ever got selected for international football, but it's, yeah. I'm just not as asked about it. But obviously, it means a lot to a lot of people, and all that shite, but... No, I'd like him back quite soon, to be honest. It sounds like South Korea have been pretty, pretty shite. It sounds like Klinsmann's not doing a very good job.
I was going to say, South Korean Twitter hates Jürgen.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Hate him.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just got past Saudi Arabia in 99th minute equaliser, wasn't it? But I can't see them going by how it sounds like they've been playing this tournament, getting past Australia. But yeah, so we might have been back for next weekend.
You see that one Bellend trying to make a name for himself, like pushing Sonny about, pulling his hair and stuff?
Yeah, apparently he's done that before to Messi and Ronaldo, people were saying in the replies.
Really?
Yeah, but Son was just having none of it, was he? He was just laughing at him.
Yeah, I mean, what what a response as well. When someone's trying to rile you, just laughing at them.
Yeah, we needed more of that last night, mate, to be honest. I think we definitely got involved way too much in the first half, like Ange said in the post-match. But we do have players that, you know, obviously Romero, Richarlison, even Maddison now, that do like to get involved in that sort of shit. And I think Brentford were definitely, definitely trying to do that as much as they could in the first half, and it worked. And it looked like they got a bit of a bollocking at half-time from Ange for getting involved in that sort of stuff. Cause,
well, he got pissed. Yeah, what was it? He said, if you want to do all that shit, go and join the UFC, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, go in the UFC cage, yeah.
And I quite like that because I'm not going to lie, like, as a, you know, there's a big emotional Larry twat. I love seeing it. You know, Battle of the Bridge. Or
perfect four words there, mate.
Yeah. When the players all start going for each other, when they're all sort of fighting for each other in a Tottenham shirt, I'm loving it. But
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Equally, objectively, you can see how being overly emotional was the undoing of Arsenal last season, for example. And it's often Arsenal's undoing. And the fact that Arteta always seems to embrace that type of attitude, yeah, that type of response from the players, is probably one of the things that lets him and them down often. And it feels like Ange is kind of ahead of that, isn't he?
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, it was just, there's a time and a place for it, though. I think it was just, we made it far too easy for them to make the game sort of stop-start, and we couldn't get into any rhythm or anything in the first half, apart from the first 10, 15 minutes where I thought we were really good. But after that, we've just, bought into most of what they were trying to do. The first half couldn't really have gone better for them, could it? That's exactly what they set out to do.
What do you make of the Skippy Højbjerg conundrum, mate? Because that, I was getting quite a bit of, elephant in the room, mate. Højbjerg was decent last night.
He was. I thought he was. But I also thought Skip was all right in the first half, to be honest. I thought he was one of our two or three best players in the first half. I know we were largely pretty shy, but I thought he was pretty good. I thought Højbjerg was good when he came on, yeah, I did. I thought he made some good challenges. He was involved in a bit of the build-up in a couple of the goals. Looked like he was trying to drive forwards. But I mean, it sounds like he wants to stick around as well. It sounds like he's quite keen to stay at least till the end of the season. Going by what he said after the game, which I don't mind if it's, and I think it will be, especially when we've got Sara and Basuma back in this sort of role that he's been doing off the bench, where largely he has been quite good. There's been a couple of times he's started where he's not been great. I think Brighton was pretty dreadful. He was decent at Old Trafford as well, but I'm quite keen for him to be moved on in the summer. I think it'd be better for us and him if he was moved on in the summer. But to be honest, last night I thought he was decent.
He was decent, wasn't he? He was, and I'm not going to deny that. I don't know. I'm still always of that opinion that I just think we generally tend to play better without him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's only certain sort of game states where it's good for him to come on and it works against certain opposition. I think Brentford and how they were playing yesterday probably suited him more than other teams would. I'm quite keen to see him moved on. He does just reek a bit too much of Mourinho and Conte, doesn't he?
He reeks of COVID. That's my thing always. That's what he reminds me of. It's 2020.
You fucking sound like COVID at the moment, mate.
Oh, mate, yeah, I do. I it's not COVID, though. It's not.
I'm in Newcastle. I'm not really out.
Richarlison, 8 goals. 8 goals now this season.
Yeah, 7 on the bounce. 7 games in a row, isn't it?
Is he actually maybe the guy?
Maybe. I mean, there's still, he's been genuinely incredible since he came back from his bollock surgery, whatever it was in
pubis surgery, isn't it?
Yeah, bollock surgery, wasn't it? at the start of December, he's generally been, I mean, not just his goals, his all-round performances have been so much better. I mean, performances like last night and at Old Trafford, I couldn't imagine, the best I could have hoped for a year ago maybe with Richarlison was that he could nick a couple of goals, but his all-round game has been so much better since he came back in December. There was obviously something niggling him, earlier in the season. It didn't look like he could, fully perform as to the level that he wants to and obviously can do. Just obviously it's great that he's getting some goals and stuff, and he's definitely getting more luck than he was. The goal last night and stuff could easily, he could easily have scuffed that wide or straight at the keeper last season or earlier this season. But more impressed with just, his hold up play, and he had a couple of really good periods last night where he was holding it up and bringing others into play and taking us up the field with the ball. That's impressed me as much as the goals, to be honest. I didn't really answer your question there as if he's the main man going forward. It's really hard to tell.
Well, it is, isn't it? But I mean, if you think about it, like, he presses, as you say, he holds the ball up well. He's strong. He's pretty quick, actually. I think his finishing still, I know he's got, like you say, 7 on the bounce, 8 goals this season. I think his finishing does leave a little bit to be kind of,
It's maybe, if we're going to be competing for top 4, I think he's probably good enough. If we're going to go up another level next season and hopefully, when we're in the Champions League and if we are hopefully pushing to be in a title challenge, I don't know if he's enough of a killer in front of goal. I think he'd he probably does miss too many chances at the very, very highest level. I mean, yeah, if that's where we want to be.
This has always been my point about him. At those finest margins, you know.
I think, you know, there was a couple of chances at Brighton. I mean, he's obviously had plenty where that's not gone his way. I'd be quite reluctant to talk about, you know, the drawbacks of him because he's in such great form, yeah, and he's performing really, really well. But I just mean, you know, next season, if we want to be challenging for the title, I think we probably need, by all means, wouldn't sell him. I think it'd still be great to have in the squad. But to be sort of our starting centre forward, probably need a bit more of a killer in front of goal. But yeah, I don't know. It's difficult.
There's that fella at Bayern Munich is all right, isn't he?
Well, Choupo-Moting, yeah. He's pretty tidy.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Can I just poke this? Can I poke this bruise, please?
Poke anything you want, Jack.
God. Do you buy the whole Spurs are doing so well because they don't have Harry Kane? Harry Kane wouldn't have worked in this system.
No, absolutely not. There's, you know, we're praising Richarlison because of how well he's doing, but I'm praising him at the moment for him doing things that Harry Kane is the best in the world at, you know, as in holding onto the ball, bringing others into play. I don't buy that Harry Kane would have worked in this system at all. I think we'd probably be top of the league and Harry Kane would be running away with the golden boot. The amount of, you know, look at how shit we were last season on the whole, and he got 30 league goals. And you look at how many chances we create for our forward players this season. I think Harry Kane would be incredible in this system, but he chose to, you know.
One game under Ange, 4 goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. But no, he chose to, you know, go and play for Bayern Munich. I don't know, going forward, I mean, it looks like Tuchel's probably going to be gone in the summer. You know, it's a strange one, he's put all his eggs in that Tuchel basket, you know, and it's strange for Bayern as well, given, you know, splashing out 120 mil or whatever it was on a 30-year-old. He's obviously probably arguably the best player in the world still, but for a manager like Tuchel, who is probably going to be gone in the summer. But then you say, you know, there's no manager who comes in that's not going to want Harry Kane starting up front, is there? So.
You shared that thing the other day of him at that fans forum.
He's done. Yeah. What was the song again? I can't remember what it was.
I'm going to find it now.
Oh, what was it? It was fucking hideous, wasn't it? There was like 30 people there and he was just stood on a stage. It looked like a fucking school hall, like school play type setup, didn't it?
There must be that bit of him at Wonders. Have I fucked it?
Oh, wasn't it to Jingle Bells?
Yes. How do you
it was, wasn't it?
How do you
yeah.
I'm going to play it now. Hang on 2 seconds. Harry Kane, Harry Kane, Harry on the way. How much fun is to see
Harry scores again. Hey! Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Not much more can be said about that, is there, really?
No, let's move on quickly.
I want to ask you, mate. Tottenham. To improve the pre-match atmosphere, the ambience, if you like.
Mm.
They put on a little mobile phone light show, the little addition to the Tottenham Hotspur app. And a lot of people got...
Oh, was on the app? Do they need the app for that?
I think, yeah, apparently so. I guess
it was... Oh, because it was going in time with the music and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it's just... I mean, number one, right, it's mostly probably a covert way to get people to download the app, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Ooh, here we go, Mr. Robot.
There we go. But are you that arsed? A lot of people got all quite angry about it, being like, ah, this is so tin pot, this is that. But this is the sort of shit that just comes hand in hand with being a club in the type of stadium we've got, with the type of profile that we've got now. It's kind of where the sport's gone. I'm not having a pop, Americans, but it is that kind of Americanized version of sport now, right? And that's...
I didn't like it, mate. I didn't like it.
I'm not saying I liked it, but it's part of what it is now, isn't it?
Well, put on a fucking light show or something. But I just think that getting the phones out and stuff is just so, you know, Coldplay fix you gig or fucking take that. I don't know. There's just something about it I don't like. I don't know. I thought it was fucking shit.
What about the trumpet then?
I don't want a trumpet and drum.
I'm not having the drum lumped in with the trumpet. The drum's an institution.
Sounds like a euphemism now. I don't know what for, but yeah, go on.
The drum's an institution. The trumpet is...
The drum's an institution. Listen to yourself.
The trumpet is another attempt from the club to manufacture an atmosphere. It is.
But it's nowhere near as bad as a phone light show.
Let me put to you, Con, if Arsenal or Chelsea or West Ham had a trumpet player at kickoff in all of their games, all of their home games, you'd be taking the piss. I know.
For a start, West Ham have fucking bubbles and Arsenal have that dreadful Ed Sheeran shite, which... Compared to the trumpet, mate, I'm taking that trumpet all day. I'm not massive on it, right? I know where they're getting it. They're getting it to just sort of... So, when the Spurs is, you know, a staple before every home game. I think the fans can do that, to be honest. I think that there arguably is a better way. It's just another thing that, you know, an opportunity for opposition fans. Whenever I've watched a Tottenham game on the telly with mates or my girlfriend or... Oh, you've got a girlfriend, grow up. Or anyone, they've always laughed at the trumpet. It's quite a funny sound, isn't it? I think, yeah, I can see why they've done it. It does work, you know. I was at the City game, and it was good. Yeah. Of course they do, mate. It's a trumpet, man. I don't have a massive problem with it. I'd take that over a light show any day. I'd take it over North London forever. I'd take it over a fucking bubble machine. I'll take over that whatever fucking shite Chelsea do that Pochettino pretends he doesn't hear before every game.
What I'm saying, you'll take it because you accept that it's part of what football's like. What football's like.
Yeah. Right? You know, I mean, most, you know, Liverpool play songs through the speakers to get people to sing You Never Walk Alone before the start of every game. It's part of it. It's short of playing I'd probably rather, you know, pump Can't Smell Without You through the speakers or something like that. But that's because I'm an old cunt, you know, and I'd rather that. But I don't have a big problem with the trumpet, to be honest. I'd rather not see another light show. It's not something I can bring myself to be that annoyed about, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things, you know. I wasn't a fan of the light show, mate.
It would be nice. The light show, look, I'll put it this way. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't want to be the old man shouting at clouds, but the whole like sanitized.
Yeah, you do.
Now, right? It's not really for me. I don't really love it, but I'm not going to rage against it. I know they say rage against the dying of the light, but it's just it for me.
Well, hey, that was good. Did you mean that?
It is what it is. That's the way I look at it. However, right? If we're going to do all this, if we're going to sort of, you know, appeal to say a younger audience more often than not, and I understand that, a new generation.
I don't think we need fucking lights to do that, mate.
No, I mean, cheaper tickets for a start would be helpful.
Like, yeah, 100%. Yeah, of course,
like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the real one. But why can't they, like, every now and again, just like, why can't we have a pre-match that's just a fella in the centre circle with a piano playing a bit of Chaz and Dave? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll volunteer that, mate.
I fucking love it, though. I joke about it. Imagine if it's fucking Snooker Loopy and Gertrude and all that banging out in the middle.
Probably less likely than Tottenham songs, but I'm there with you all the way, mate, for sure.
Down to Margate, we'll get on that one. Behave yourself, yeah. Dad. Right?
Yeah, you're wrong.
Give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, I'd prefer that, Jack. But where we are right now, we've got torches on phones and a trumpet, mate, and we're gonna have to fucking.
We got woke torches. We got woke
trumpets. Woke torches.
Woke trumpets.
You know. Wake up, Tom.
It's quite a band name, that woke trumpet.
No, I don't know. It sounds like a weird sex thing, but
it does. There's something about trumpets, isn't there?
Yeah, let's not. No, trombone, but there's no need for that, mate.
Rusty trombone.
Children listen to this. Oh, you've said it. All right. Well, nobody Google that, I would say.
What is it?
I'm not going to talk about that, mate. Why are you asking me? I'm not some Roman.
You know what it is, though, don't you?
No.
If I typed into your search, if I typed rusty trombone into your search history, I shudder to think what I'd find, Con.
That's just because I was looking for some vintage instruments on eBay.
what's all this? It's like the
oh, no.
The old lad with the, you know, the couple with the
looking at the telly, yeah.
Or the porn on the yeah. on the telly.
That's me with the IT guy at work, so I was logging into my work laptop.
I just love restoration videos, you know. Resting a doggy, night to forget.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, moving on.
Moving on from Rusty Trombones. A night to forget for Destiny a Doggy. Defensively, at least.
Defensively, yeah. Defensively. Going forward, it was fantastic.
And I just sort of tweeted, like, you know, Destiny a Doggy, 21 years old, first season in the Premier League. That's all I did. That's all I said. And my point behind that was he's going to make mistakes every now and again. But now I start getting pelters as in, like, we're not allowed to criticise players now, are we? Literally, I'm not saying that at all. I have a podcast in which I constantly criticise players. I'm not saying nobody can criticise players. And it seems to be it's bleeding. There is this weird... We can't just be happy as a fan base, it seems. It seems to be there's always a culture war emerging from somewhere. And this seems...
It's always been away, yeah. Like, well, I was saying.
It's some sort of bleed through, isn't it, from this Johnson thing where... There has been, and I think there is room to legitimately criticise him. Lovely goal for him last night. Hope that gives him a good confidence boost. And abusing him. And just like what people playing at. What, I mean, I didn't see anyone really digging out Destiny a Doggy last night, to be honest. And you'd have to be a particular type of fuckwit to go for Destiny a Doggy, right? Right.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was necessarily. I think, you know, would have, if you, you know, said how his first season would go, his first 20 odd games of season or whatever, starting in this team, in this system, you know, he's only really played as a wing back consistently, you know, at Udinese. Was it Udinese? Yeah. It's been dropped into this, you know, the responsibility he's got and those defenders have got, especially the fullbacks, he's gonna fuck up a couple of times, isn't he? I think the Tony goal yesterday was just an anomaly. That was just mad. I can't see that happening again. He seemed to look at him and still played it through. It was very odd. I think that's just an anomaly. You can't really hold that against him. Overall this season he's been absolutely incredible. His role in, you know, the first goal yesterday was fantastic. His goal and his role in the third one as well. You know, really nice driving run and made the pass to Maddison, which made the goal. You can obviously criticize errors when they happen, but you can't really hold his feet to the fire too much, can you, Adoghi? He's been fantastic.
I mean, because what's the alternative? What, you want Ben Davis playing? You want Ryan Sessegnon? Or if not either of those, if you're in that spend some money camp, who are you buying over Destiny Adoghi right now?
I think, let alone a 21-year-old kid in his first season in England, anyone playing that position in this system, you're going to cock up a couple of times a season. And that's all it's been, really. You know, he was fortunate a couple of times last night because he did give it away before he did for the first goal. And, you know, stuff like that's going to happen. We're still getting used to it. I think he's only getting massively criticised because we're, as a team, I think we're doing a lot better than a lot of people thought we would, especially even Tottenham fans included in that this season. So, you know, you're going to criticise people more, but you can't really. A player like that who's been one of our standout players this season, I was about to say, at his age as well, you know, him and Porro have both been fantastic. And the abuse thing is just, especially with Johnson, I do think that's mainly a sort of social media thing. I don't think many, not even match going fans, but many, many proper fans. I think it's just these chronically online lot. And I think that is often the way with social media abuse, which is obviously a shame. You know, he's still got his Instagram comments turned off, which is obviously horrible to see, but I think he feels the support in the stadium and from the fans, to be honest.
I thought he was so excited that he'd scored that goal and was doing the dart celebration. He was so keen to be like, look, Medders, look, mate, I've got
you. Yeah.
It's kind of sweet, wasn't it? Maybe that's...
But I think, like, you saw it with every goal we scored, that they brought that into the celebration. And I think it had the absolute reverse effect that Morpay wanted. I think it genuinely riled us up. At half time, you know, I think obviously Maddison saw it in the first half because he went up to him, didn't he, after he did it. But I don't think all of our players were aware of what happened. But obviously, they found out at half time, and yeah, three goals in 10 minutes probably tells you what you need to know.
What did you make of John? I couldn't really tell you much of what Johnson did other than the goal last night.
Yeah, I mean, he said about how much, you know, he said he knows he's not been playing as well as he can. Probably been a bit hard on himself as well. You know, numbers-wise, for a first season for someone that age coming into this team, he's done all right, you know, 4 assists and a couple of goals. Very, as people have compared him, you know, very similar sort of numbers to Son's first season where he got all sorts of, you know, abuse and criticism, which people forget about now, obviously. Going on fucking 10 years, man. Wasn't it 2015? Is that when he signed? Summer 2015?
Christ, yeah, it'll be similar to
testimonial next year, man. Yeah, like Son got in his first season. I think Johnson's going to be really good. I think he's got all the attributes to work up front in an Ange side. He needs to back himself a bit more, I think, especially one-on-ones, because there are times where he's absolutely had a fullback on toast and just, you know, knocked it past him, like, you know, a bit like Bale used to do, knocked it past him and just ran round him. He's done that a couple of times. I think he needs the confidence to do that more, because he's definitely got it in his locker. But yeah, I mean, it's just being in the right positions, and he is in the right positions a lot of the time. You know, he's missed a few. He probably should have scored. But he said last night, you know, Ange wants his wingers, you know, popping up between the posts like he did for that goal yesterday. And yeah, hopefully we'll see a bit more of it. But yeah, I'm very, very much loathe to criticise him, to be honest.
It's like you say, well, we don't need to be in a rush to have a firm position on a new young player. That's
what I mean. Is yeah, same with the Dogies. What's Johnson, maybe just turned 22, I think, but they're by no means a finished product. You know, they're coming in, been dropped in this team. Probably he's obviously had to play a lot more than I think Andrew was probably planning on when we brought him in, because of, you know, injuries.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And internationals and all that stuff. You know, he's going to have patches where he struggles. But yeah, I think numbers-wise, he's done quite well. Few times, you know, his end product's not quite been there in terms of the final ball or a cross into the box or something like that, but I think we've seen enough that it can work. You know, he's I think maybe two or three times is, you know, we've scored pretty much the same goal with that ball from him in, you know, cut back to Richarlison. Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more of that, and I think he'll grow into the role as well.
Nice little cameo from Jamie Donnelly last night talking about young players. Good yellow card he got.
Great yellow card, I love that.
Did get in trouble a little bit on the edge of our box, but he got bailed out. He's a big old unit, isn't he, for a kid?
Yeah, he is. And I like that he got brought on. You know, he's not been brought on in the 94th minute at 4-0. You know, he's been brought on, you know, with added time. There's probably a good 10 minutes left, and it was, you know, it was very, very nervy last 10 for what it was. I think he came on about the 88th, 89th minute or something like that with the game as it was. So, you know, Ange's obviously thrown some trust in him there, not as much as some people would like. You know, he's not played as much as some people would like, you know, given the chances you thought he might have had with injuries and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. You've got to manage these players. What is he, 17 still? 18?
He's not,
I don't really think you can. 19, oh, fuck Ange then. He should be starting every week.
but
I don't know. I just can't bring myself to be that annoyed about that sort of thing, to be honest, at the moment.
I
think you should go on.
Well, because people are talking about this youth pathway. I've seen people sort of complaining a little bit about this with Ange. But I do think it skirts. I understand it. We need more homegrown talent. We need to be bringing in players from the academy in an ideal world. However, a lot of the players that we do have playing for us right now are young players. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Not what we've been talking about too long, yeah.
Are being held out by even Perisic, for example.
Yeah. I mean, we've just been talking about Adoghi and Johnson, two great examples there.
Sarr.
I think people are... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who's been absolutely incredible. I think people are possibly underestimating the leap between... it sounds, you know, I don't watch a lot of youth football. It sounds like he has been pretty sensational for, you know, the under-21s and that for quite some time. I think people are possibly underestimating the gap between that and, you know, that and first-team football, especially Premier League football. You know, we don't see him in training every day. Ange obviously does. You know, if Ange really thought he was in a position where he could come in and perform consistently really well and help the team, there's no reason he wouldn't be playing him. I think it's just being quite careful with him. The same goes for Dorrington as well. You know, people were saying we should have chucked him in when we had all those injuries at centre half. People were saying people were saying, you know, should have chucked Dorrington in at the Etihad when, you know, Emerson and Davies started those few games. But I don't know. I think you can't underestimate what that could do to his confidence if it went really badly
against Erling Haaland.
Yeah, that game. Yeah, that was a horrible game as well. That first half, they could have been out of sight. You know, it's such an intense, you know, place to drop in an 18-year-old centre half. You know, you don't often see centre halves that young coming in and playing regular games, do you? It doesn't really happen. Yeah, same for Donnelly as well. Hopefully, we'll, you know, see a bit more of him next season, or he'll get a decent loan. But I just can't bring myself to be too annoyed about it, to be honest. I think there's so much going well for Tottenham. I think people are, as they often do, just looking for stuff to complain about.
Well, because people have been complaining about Ange a bit lately, which...
But like I said...
It's a surprise, perhaps, but it does still, to me.
People complain about Poch when we were, you know, in... There's always people, you know, in 2015, 16, 17, when we were great, there were always problems, weren't there? People would always find issues. And yeah, it's football. It is what it is, but... Yeah, I don't think you can bring yourself to complain about Ange. I think that's absolutely insane.
It's like that.
But he's not beyond reproach, is he? You know, nobody is. But...
So what, you're saying you don't like Ange then, mate? Is that what it is? Not beyond reproach you, is it? Is that
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Long term, obviously, you know, you do need that. Do need to be bringing in, you know, the top academy performers and giving them a place in the team or sending them out on loan. And it does seem like we are being a bit more proactive about that, especially the loans thing, you know, Devine getting him a loan up a league because he'd done well at Port Vale. And same with Ashley Phillips. It sounds like we've got him a decent loan at with Devine at Plymouth. It does seem like we are being a bit more proactive about that sort of thing. Hopefully we'll see a bit more of Donnelly.
It
probably won't be this season, you know. We've only got the Premier League left, and these are huge games, man. In the Premier League, we've got 16 games left.
We got some hideous games coming up.
I mean, yeah, April to May, that run, sort of mid April to early May is, yeah, Newcastle, City, Arsenal, Liverpool. This is why we need to get the maximum points really out of these next three or four. We've got a nice run now.
We've got Everton away, Brighton at home, Wolves at home, Chelsea's postponed, Palace at home, Villa away, Fulham away, then Luton at home. I mean, you'd be in a certain universe, you could be seeing Tottenham winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe the next 7 games. Honestly speaking, like if we really
have, we do this a lot. You know, when, you know, there's been periods where I think when we're looking at after that Chelsea game, we were looking at the fixtures. You know, I think it was, you know, Wolves, West Ham. We were saying, oh, we could put a nice little run here together. And it doesn't always happen. But hopefully, you know, now we're out of the woods in terms of injuries and should be getting players back from internationals. You know, they should only really miss the next one or two Premier League games, even if they go all the way. We should be. If we're serious about, I know, you know, winning it. If we're serious about being up there and, you know, really pushing the top two or three, we probably do need near enough maximum points in the next 5 or 6, given that April and May we've got. Even Villa away, you know, I watched a Newcastle game and Villa are nothing like they were, you know, the last 2 months. The performances have really dropped off a bit. The momentum, they seem to have lost that a bit. So even Villa away, you know, we should be looking, especially if we're back to full strength, looking to go there and get a win. I think we're looking good for top four now. I think it's just, if we do win the next five or six, if we get those points on the board, you know, I think we'll be within, you know, five or six of top spot, maybe even closer. You know, Liverpool have got some difficult games coming up. Arsenal have as well. It's just about, yeah, doing what we need to do between now and that horror run in April.
I mean, the horror run in April could get, because where the hell do they put the Chelsea game?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine, like I said, they'll put it between Arsenal at home and Liverpool away just to fuck us.
Well, but when you actually look at the calendar, you're like, that potentially is where the gap is.
Yeah, I mean, when you take into account, Chelsea could still be in the cup as well. They've got a replay, haven't they, with Villa. They've got the Carabao final as well, obviously. It should be a bit easier for us, given, you know, we're not in anything anymore. Chelsea aren't in Europe, obviously, either. So, yeah, it's a tough one. It's really going to bite for the teams above us. You know, everyone around us is in, Liverpool are still in four competitions, you know. City, Arsenal, Champions League, Villa in Europa Conference League, they're going to have to get to a point in that competition where I think Emery will really want to win that. You know, they're going to get to a point in that competition where they're going to have to start playing that first 11 every Thursday. You know, I think they'll probably drop off a bit as well. I think we've got enough of a cushion between, you know, teams like United, Newcastle, Chelsea to say that they're out of the top four. So I think we're looking good for top four. It's just, if we're serious about, you know, having a proper run at this, not necessarily winning it, but, you know, properly challenging the top two or three, we need to be getting pretty much maximum out of the next five or six, given what we've got to come.
Even if we finish, say, just say top four, not win the Premier League. If we finish top four and Chelsea finish 10th.
Doesn't sound like a winner's mentality to that, mate.
No, but if Chelsea finish 10th, but even if they just win the Carabao Cup, I'm gonna be annoyed to see Pochettino win a trophy with them.
I'll be very annoyed, yeah. I'll be very annoyed. But you know,
it will help.
Watching that game last night, I obviously only saw the second half because it turned that on after our game, but the chasm between Liverpool and Chelsea, mate, Darwin Nunes hit the woodwork four times. That really could have been seven or eight, and that's genuinely not exaggerating. Missed the penalty, hit the woodwork, you know, three other times. They absolutely battered them. I really can't see a famous last fucking words. It's Chelsea, isn't it? They're probably going to win it, but I honestly can't see it. Liverpool are something else at the moment. They'll have everyone back as well. Obviously, Salah back as well for that.
Why did he do it?
It will be really, really fucking annoying, man. It'll be really annoying.
Why did he go there? Fucking,
I don't fucking know. It looks really short-sighted of him, man. I always thought it would, but I didn't think they'd be 10th. It looks really short-sighted of them. It's just such a mess. It really is such a mess, that club. You know, they've got themselves into a position where it sounds like they're open. You know, Bowley and I can't remember the other keeper's name who's in charge of their recruitment and stuff. Where they're open to selling their captain to Tottenham because they need to, because he's an academy player and they'll get all the money for that. So, you know, I don't know. I think it was really short-sighted of him. I think he was just desperate for a job. Because it had been a while, hadn't it? And he obviously still living in London, waiting for the call from us that didn't come. But yeah, I think it was really stupid of him, to be honest. Really short-sighted. I can't see him lasting next season.
Pedro, if he wins the cup, he might get a bit of a stay of execution, right?
Yeah, because they'll get Europe, they'll get Conference League if they win that. You know, they're talking about pushing for top six, but I just can't see them consistently putting it together. They've built up a good run at home. They're a decent, you know, a decent outfit at home, but just away from home, they're pretty awful. I just can't see them putting enough together to get top six. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle push for top six now. They're looking a bit better out of Europe as well now, obviously. So they've got a clear run at that. But yeah, I can't see Chelsea pushing for anything other than the 7th or 8th. And if they win the Carabao, they'll get Europe. And then, yeah, they've got the Conference League to contend with next season.
Transfer deadline day. Are you expecting any sign-ins for Tottenham, mate?
Well, it sounds like we're going for the Swedish youngster. But in terms of first team, I doubt it. A couple of days ago, I did think we might have a go at Gallagher. But I don't know. It's probably getting a bit late now, isn't it, to be honest?
Well, someone said, I think, you know, it's Twitter, so take it with a pinch of salt. I think somebody said Chelsea put back an asking price of about 70, 80 mil or something, and Spurs were like...
I think it's about 50. It was 50 last summer, but even that, I still can't see us. I'd rather not drop 50 on Conor Gallagher. I mean, when everyone's back, we're quite stacked in midfield. I think we do need someone in the summer, especially if we're in the Champions League. I just can't see us dropping 50 mil in January on Conor Gallagher, to be honest.
Lucas,
I think he's a good player, and I would like him. I think he's a really good player, and he'd be a good addition. You know, we do need probably six players. We're happy dropping in to any game in midfield, especially given, you know, hopefully in Europe next season we'll be playing more than fucking 41 games that we'll be playing this season. But I'd be very surprised if we drop 50 on Gallagher on deadline day.
Lucas Bergvall, that's who we're after.
That's the one, mate.
The thing that's funny, mate, is right. So it says that we are in competition with Barcelona for his signature. And obviously for the majority of my life, hearing Tottenham are in competition with Barcelona, it's like, well, he's obviously going to go to Barcelona. Nowadays, the strength of the Premier League, the size of our, I'm sorry to use the term, brand, the stadium, all of it, it's not that insane for a young player to probably choose Tottenham over someone like Barcelona anymore, is it?
No, not by any means. Barcelona are a mess at the moment, man. You know, they're getting rid of Xavi and at the end of the season, or he's jumping ship, it looks like. They're still, you know, in an absolute muddle financially as well. It's definitely not the draw it was a few years ago. And, you know, we've gone the other way in that time as well. I think, yeah, it's obviously a huge decision for a player. It sounds like we've offered him a place in the first team squad, which obviously isn't going to, you know, be good news to people who have been really, really pushing for Donnelly and stuff like that. It sounds like he plays quite a similar role. I can't say I watch much of the Swedish league this season. But yeah, I don't know. It sounds like we've promised him a place in the first team squad, and that's the only thing that's sort of holding him back from saying yes to Barcelona at the moment. But it sounds like we'll be forking out, you know, about 10 mil as well for him, which is, you know, it's by any means not nothing for a 17-year-old, is it?
17 years old?
Yeah, we must have seen something there that we liked, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. It's not what I can bring myself to be. I'm sure there will be people really annoyed on Twitter if we don't drop 10 mil on him today on deadline day, even though they couldn't pick him out of a fucking lineup. But yeah.
Fabrizio Romano says, Barcelona remain confident and optimistic on Lucas Bergvall deal after meetings in the last few days. Tottenham keep calling the players camp to hijack the move. An important proposal made. What's an important proposal versus a proposal?
Paratici on a blower. I love that as well. yeah, love fucking 11 missed calls from Paratici on a 17-year-old kid. But yeah, I don't know. It does sound like we're pushing for him. It sounds like we're keen for him. It sounds like we've obviously seen something we like there. But yeah, I'm not sure.
What is it? Striker?
No, midfielder.
I'm just having a little
midfielder. Bit. And it sounds like what's made him think about it and make Barcelona wait is we offered him a team in the first team squad, and it sounds like he was going to sort of join up with Barcelona's development side. But yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
he looks absolute quality, to be fair.
I'll get him in, mate.
But everyone does in compilations, don't they? That's the problem.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. Get him in, man. Fuck it. I've got enough trust in what we're doing now in terms of transfers, to be honest. I think the last 3 or 4 years has been pretty phenomenal, really. So if we're looking at a Swedish child that I've never seen play football, then fucking get him in.
He looks like the most Swedish. If you asked an AI generator to draw me a Swedish person, a Swedish.
Oh, can and I have.
That's what he looks like.
It is, yeah, it is. Bit of a sort of Erdegaard regen, dare I say.
No,
I know he's not fucking Swedish. Before anyone picks up.
Let's not go there.
no, but I just mean in the mould of player, it sounds, going by what I've read about people who watch more Swedish football than me, in that kind of mould.
Solanke is linked as well. That's, I mean, that's not happening, is it? Let's be honest.
No, it's definitely not happening. Not one I'd be particularly keen on, to be honest. I'd rather stick with Richarlison.
Oh, 100%. 100%, yeah. Obviously.
It'd be 50 mil as well, they'd be asking, maybe even more on deadline day. No, I think that came out of nowhere, really. I can't see that. Going, you know, there's people who say Harry Kane wouldn't work in this system. Obviously nowhere near on that level, but, you know, it's a similar sort of number nine in that mold. And no, I can't see that. Not too keen for it. He's obviously been in great form this season. 12 goals in the league, but last season 6 goals in the Prem. It just looks like he's had a bit of a purple patch. He's quieting down now as well. No, not one I'd be keen to drop 50 mil on. If we're going to do that for a forward player, we need a proper top class winger. But I'll pass on Solanke, mate. I'm sure they'll take that into account.
Billy's off to Sevilla, apparently, potentially on loan. Now, I don't want to go all Alan Brazil about this, mate, but what's the point of that?
For a change. I don't know.
Bringing the lad to England, worrying about him adapting to the footballing culture here, then sending him to Spain. What's the point?
I don't know. I think just because we're obviously out of all the cups and stuff that he wasn't really going to get any minutes this season, it sounds like, especially with Son coming back, Richarlison in good form, we've got Werner who can play in the middle. It just doesn't sound like he was going to get much of a shout.
Saying down to Millwall or something. Bit of crash, bang, wallop football.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we try and usually do, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, Sevilla in absolute fucking turmoil as well. They're in a relegation battle as well, not playing very well.
They're still probably in the Europa League, won't they? But
even if they're not in it, they're probably. It just sounds like we're just trying to get him some minutes, really. I've been pretty impressed, I think he scored that goal at Brighton, didn't he? And had a couple of really good moments, a couple of really good touches in that as well. But we obviously haven't really seen enough of them to have a particularly strong view either way. It is a bit of a strange one, though, yeah. We do try and seem to get English loans, or we have for the younger players, especially the last couple of seasons. But yeah, I mean, again, one of them that I really can't bring myself to be that pissed off about either way.
No, I mean, not that arsed. I just wonder if it's always felt like a bit of a weird deal, the Villas one, hasn't it? As in, like,
yeah, it was 20-odd mil as well.
Was it that much?
Yeah. Pretty sure it was.
I thought it was only about 7 or 8, but
no, I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, we've got 16 games left. Pretty much going to be one game a week for the rest of the season. I can only assume that Am just said he's not really going to be getting any minutes.
Well, he seems to
for the rest of the season. I think Scarlett's looked pretty decent in a couple of cameos, to be honest. I think he's a decent player. I'm sure people who have been going on about Donnelly and stuff would rather Scarlett get those minutes if there are any, but I can only think that Ange just said that he's not really going to get much of a shout between now and the end of the season with, the 16 games we've got left. No cup competitions or anything like that. Just one of them. And I think that there's just no minute. Some minutes are better than no minutes. And maybe Seville have promised him some starts, So, yeah, not one I can bring myself to have a particularly strong opinion about, unlike most of Twitter.
Well, here's one I might elicit a strong opinion from you on, mate. Brexit. No. the end of the season for Tottenham. I mean, yeah, it's not been, it was a great performance last night, but we still got the points. We're still touching distance with the top of the table. We've got all of our top lads coming back now. I'm buzzing about it, mate. I'm still excited about what this team can achieve in the immediate future. I'm not looking at this as next season actually will be all right under Ange. I think this season we're right under Ange, and I think nobody is running away with the Premier League at all.
No. I think we could really, really push for top two or three. It would be something quite extraordinary if we went all the way and pushed for top. But I think top two or three this season would be an unbelievable achievement considering where we were back end of last season. The last few months of last season were just awful, so disjointed. I think we had two players starting last night who started the reverse fixture towards the end of last season. The transformation in such a short space of time, considering the seismic difference in the football we're trying to play, the amount of players we've brought in and tried to bed in straight away. Young players, the transformation's been remarkable. And if we can push for top two or three, that'd be pretty astounding first season, really.
It's a bit of an echo of glory that if we don't win the title, isn't it? Then just finishing it.
That's what we do, isn't it, mate? That's what we do. I mean, as we've always said, the part of it is just enjoying watching Tottenham and this season compared to the year that went before it. And if we push for Champions League, I really didn't think we'd get back into the Champions League as quickly as it looks like we hopefully will. Let alone push the likes of Arsenal, when you look at Arsenal, where Arsenal were last season and where we were, you know, in April and May last season, to think we're 3 points behind them and looking like we could, you know, definitely push to finish above them, especially with them having Champions League and stuff to worry about and being a bunch of bottle jobs, to really push them and push the top two or three is pretty incredible. And yeah, I think pretty much everyone would have taken that.
We've got a bit... We can win it, can't we, though? Surely, Con.
We can. The only thing we've got going for us, as I've said, is one game a week and everyone around us, you know, Liverpool, obviously, in the Europa League, which can have a massive effect. They're going to have to start playing their first 11. You know, they got lucky with a pretty easy group in the Europa. They've not had to sort of... They've been able to rest a lot of their key players, but I think they'll really want to go for that and win that, you know, still in the cup, got the Carabao final. The thing we've got going for us is, yeah, one game a week for the rest of the season. This is just about keeping everyone fit and not suspended, Christian, for the rest of the season. And then, yeah, who knows?
Con, win, lose or draw, right? Everton away.
Oh, win, yeah. I can see us maybe going 1-0 down early on and starting to worry a bit like we did last night. But, yeah, I think we'll have too much for them. They've been pretty wretched. They haven't won a game since we last played them, you know. They beat Burnley, I think, game before they came to Tottenham, and they've been on a pretty dreadful run of form, especially in the league. They're just not scoring goals. You know, they got knocked out of the FA Cup to Luton at the weekend, and yeah, they're looking pretty wretched at the moment.
Win, lose or draw, Brighton at home.
Win. Again, you know, I know the reverse fixture was obviously pretty dreadful, but you know, given the team we had to put out and playing away from home is obviously very different, but I think they're on a run of 3 wins in 15, 16 in the Prem. Their eggs are in the Europa basket as well, I think.
Big fraud. Got all rattled last season when Stellini said he inherited a good situation. He knew it was true.
That was incredible, that. Imagine getting rattled by Christian Stellini.
Fraud.
And getting battered by Christian Stellini, may I add, as well.
Wolves at home, we're beating them, aren't we?
Yeah, win, absolutely. Again, Palace. That was a grubby reverse fixture, but yeah, win.
Palace at home, Roy's boys.
The only thing I can hope is they've still got Roy there. I think if they can hang on to him, hopefully, and not sack him for someone like Cooper, who would sort them out and make them a bit of a tougher proposition. Yeah, win, absolutely.
What have we got there? Yeah, Aston Villa away. We'll have them and all.
Win, yeah, absolutely.
So that's 1, 2, 3. That's 9, 12, 15 points. So that's 15 points.
So it's a piece of piss, mate. I don't know what the fuss is about.
Fulham away. Win that, won't we?
Win.
That.
Yeah, comfortably.
18 points. Tottenham, Luton at home. Luton at home. We'll win that.
Loss. Nah, yeah, we'll win that. Yeah, we'll win that.
18, 19. So that's 19, 20, 21. 21 points. West Ham away, they'll be the ones, they'll do us then, won't they?
I don't think so.
We're winning that? Is that we're winning that?
I'm so surprised at how many points they've got and how far they are at the table. Given how, like, so many of their fans are really, really not having David Moyes anymore. But where are they? Sixth. They're sixth on 35 points, you know, 8 points behind us now. They've got a game in hand. I'm surprised they're still up there, you know. They're above Newcastle, United, Chelsea, Brighton. But yeah, I fancy us to beat them, to be honest.
Then Forest at home, we'll have them, won't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Newcastle away, oh, an interesting one for
that
you.
That is horrible, mate. I'm really not looking forward to that, man. But yeah, then again, it can't go any worse than last season, can it? Or can it? No, it can't. It can't.
That's the minging. This is the run. Newcastle.
Yeah, that's it. That's the month. That's the month that will define whether we're pushing for top four or pushing for something else. It's that run.
And probably chuck Chelsea in there as well, which is hideous.
Yeah, I fancy us to do them, though, to be honest. I think we'd have absolutely battered them if we didn't lose our fucking marbles and get those two red cards. We were absolutely battering them. As I said, they've been good at home, but yeah, I fancy us to go there and turn them over with everyone back.
It feels like, Connor, that you basically think we're going to win every single game that we're going to play.
Well, of course I'm going to say that, man. What's the point in sitting there and fucking saying, oh, no, we'll probably get done by Luton and Chelsea?
I'm buying that energy, though, mate. I'm here for it. Tottenham win. So how many... Wait, hang on. Are you good at maths? Quick maths. If we win...
No.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 times 3.
What games? Oh, right, we're winning the lot. Okay.
We've got 48 points, right? If we win all 16 games.
What does that put us on?
48 points. That would put us on, what are we on now? 43. God, that's not even that good, is it? To be honest. 91 points. He probably still would. The mental thing is, I probably wouldn't win us the league in many years.
I think this season, 90 points win the league. Unlike, you know, the last few seasons, you know, Liverpool didn't win the league with 97 points in 2022, which is just fucking obscene. But it looks like it's going to be a bit more of a reasonable target, relatively speaking, this season. I think if anyone gets 90 odd points, they'll win it. And it sounds like we're going to have to win every game. So, you know, fuck it.
Starts here, win every game, Tottenham Hotspur FC, Gertje, have it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.